my gosh, is this a podcast? Hey everybody, it's Sean.
And Zane.
And Josh.
We're here for episode 77 of Cracking the Spine. We've already introduced ourselves.
77 is a year they made cool Firebirds in that year.
77 punk rock.
There you go, punk rock music.
77 trombones in the hit parade? No, that was 76. That was last episode, we missed it.
It's 99.
Boo, we missed it. We missed it. Now we have to wait till 170.
Oh, cancel the show.
Oh my god.
But we're back on our semi-regular schedule.
Yep, kind of. Trying.
We took 2 weeks off, but we're here. Josh is going to edit it, so God only knows how it's going to sound.
Oh boy. Am I?
Shit. I just doomed myself.
Unlimited power!
Oh, we conversate, but good. Josh, what are you reading?
Nothing.
Okay.
I've been so busy, man.
Doing what? Can you talk about what you've been busy doing?
No, not really. I signed a thing. If I talk about it, they'll sue me.
He was touching butt.
I was in New York, though, when you were there.
You can't talk about his butt touching or they'll sue him.
No, that's fine to talk about.
Okay. You were in New York when I was there? Why didn't you tell me?
Oh, boy.
I think I did, but you were like, I'm busy, asshole! I'm busy being businessman!
I was legitimately on conference. I was listening in on conference calls when you sent me the message that you were like right across the street from me.
I was going to go out and say anything to you with my phone and point up at the building.
I probably would have heard it.
What floor are you on?
Every sound.
Is that
from
okay
the
to
street.
Tell you? What floor are you on?
I'm on the 13th.
So you're on really the 14th or the 12th?
No, I'm on the 13th floor. In the elevator, the buttons go from 1 to 20 with 13.
I hear if you make it to the 13th floor, there's a party up there.
Really?
Nobody knows that reference.
Zane apparently does, because she's laughing. Is that from, I'm going to guess My So-Called Life?
No,
I never watched it?
No.
I don't know.
It's Pennsylvania lore. It's Philadelphia lore.
That's the haunted house that, like... It's like in an old abandoned building, and if you make it through, like, it's like the scariest, most intense haunted house ever of all time, and if you make it all the way through, and you have to go by yourself, you're not allowed to go with a friend, you make it all the way through up to the 13th floor, there's a party.
Oh, it's Pennsylvania? Because I work in New York.
Oh, boy. That is my third oh boy for you.
Oh, wow. It's been
like 2 minutes and 34 seconds in.
It's been a long podcast.
I've been saving it up. Okay, cool.
What are you reading, Sean?
Honestly, I'm not reading anything either right now.
What?
Well, actually, technically not true. I started reading The Slow Regard of Silent Things by Patrick Rothfuss.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like this, it's a novelette.
Novella?
That's it, novella, thank you. Centered around one of the characters from the Kingslayer Chronicles. And it is not... It didn't do it for me. I gave up on it.
You gave up on it?
I did.
But it's got fantasy in it.
I know.
I don't understand.
You were so excited the last time.
It's very precious. It's very sweet. Like, it's so... Like, I don't want to give... without giving too much away about the series, the character... she's this, like... This, like, homeless waif that lives underneath the...
Homeless wife?
Without giving everything away. That lives underneath the Wizards University of this universe.
This sounds awesome.
But she's, like, every interaction she has in the first two novels is... she's very, like, dodgy, and she refers to inanimate objects with, like, personalities, like, all
so
the time.
So she's Belle from the Beauty and the Beast, sort of.
If Belle from Beauty and the Beast was 11 years old and homeless. Like,
maybe.
It's very... So, it's just...
It's
too... It's too precious for me. Like,
there's not enough wizard spells.
There's no plot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's, like, moving from thing to thing. And
sometimes that's the problem with these, like, sub-novels or whatever.
Exactly.
Like there's not really a point to writing it other than he had all of this, like... infrastructure down for this character.
And he
character,
wanted to write it.
You know,
yeah.
And he wanted to share, like...
That's exactly how I feel about it, Zane. That's
yeah,
really well
like it's
said.
All his notes.
I thought it was well said first.
And he says it right... The introduction of the novel is, you probably... I'm paraphrasing, but it says, you probably don't want to read this. This book really isn't for you. And my editor would hate if I said that. But like I'm reading it, I'm like, yeah, he's right. It's not for me.
Yeah. Right. Well, who's it for, then?
I gave it to my wife because she finished the first two novels. Maybe she'll like it.
But I mean, is it for people maybe, who are really into it? It might be
for people who are, like, more hardcore fans of this series than you were. Like, maybe you're, like, too casual a fan.
Whoa.
No, I mean, I'm a fan of the core story. And I actually really like this character. I just don't like the story told through her lens.
Right.
The stories have always been told through the main character's lens, and she every once in a while gets caught up. And you care for her, and you want good things for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's really obviously very hard for me to explain, but I just didn't. I gave up on it.
Okay. Why is she 11 and in the basement?
Don't know. Might be explained in the book. I didn't finish it.
Also, I have a second question. Do the things come alive?
In her mind, kind of, I think.
But is she going to be like a wizard who does this stuff? Then? Like, is that how you...
I can't tell if she's a dropout. I can't tell if she's the orphan of a teacher.
Maybe
I can't
tell.
Maybe
you should just read it.
I will. As soon as Paige
read
is done.
Read the three books.
Read the book.
Exactly. So actually what I'm reading now, my mother gave me... hi, Mom. You'll never hear this.
Hi, Sean.
She gave me the latest collection of Gary Trudeau's Doonesbury.
Okay, yeah.
And it's all since the 80s, he has been spoofing Donald Trump.
Okay.
And the book is called Huge, spelled Y-U-G-E.
Yeah.
And it's all the Doonesbury cartoons about Donald Trump. And it's actually kind of interesting. I mean, I like Doonesbury and I love comic strips, so it's like a perfect marriage. But it's really interesting how prescient he was about Donald Trump, like, and his rise and,
right,
like, the kind of ass hat he is.
It's like The Simpsons. The Simpsons was always, like, that episode where he's president.
Right.
And they were like, it's like there was just this inkling about him that people had.
But, like, they're spoofing, all the comics are spoofing what he was doing at the time and the kind of shit he was saying and the kind of things that Trudeau was spoofing. It was like, oh yeah, that's exactly where we are right
yep.
now.
Right.
That's crazy.
And I'm going to just say this again. I'll double down to make sure it didn't get lost in translation. Donald Trump is an asshat and should never be the president of the United States. And if you're listening to the show and you disagree, go listen to a
different
show. Or keep listening. Whatever.
Listen to my new podcast, Trump Talk.
Cracking the Hillary emails.
Just so everyone knows, that was a joke and I'm not voting for Donald Trump.
Well, no, you'd have to go actually, like, vote to do it.
So. I vote all the time!
Josh votes.
You only have to vote once.
What? Oh, my God. What the fuck? Zane, what are you reading?
Zane, what are you reading?
I haven't been reading a lot.
Wow! Everybody's Josh now!
I'm still technically reading The Broken Hours by Jacqueline Baker, and there is absolutely no reason for me to have, like, stalled on it the way that I have. It's very interesting. Every time I pick it up, I'm like, this is really good. Why am I not reading this?
Maybe because
I just have not been in the mood to
Living
read.
Like Me is awesome.
I blame not having a regular podcast.
That is exactly
yeah.
what
to
it
sit
is.
On us.
I don't have to do my homework.
Right?
I
think that's
what's
happening to me, too.
It is summer break, and I don't have to do my homework because it's not due for a while.
Well, then why wasn't I reading
books? Today I was like, I should read some more of this book.
Yeah, right? You feel like
if you're a slacker, you're a dropout.
Yeah. And also, like,
Kanye was a dropout. Now he's rich.
Which Kanye?
West.
Okay. I've made it pretty clear on the show before. I've been watching The Wire on my phone.
Oh,
I'm just,
man.
Hold on. It's more to it.
We're hitting them all today, huh?
But I've changed up my commute,
uh-huh.
and the way I'm commuting now, I can't stream it.
You take Amtrak, and that thing goes like 100 miles an hour, man.
It's NJT, but yeah, it flies.
They're fast.
It's super fast, and I can't watch The Wire. And it, like, today, just this exact day, I was like, shit, I don't have a book.
Weird.
So,
that's a weird feeling.
Right?
I get sick on the train reading a book, because I'm allergic to them.
What, trains
or
reading
books?
Yeah, Zane. That was a high five sound, you guys. Look at that spike on the...
I'm going to edit that out. It's going to be dead air for like that 1 millisecond.
No,
then us
no.
talking about it after.
All right, so nobody's reading. And
I did, however, I haven't picked it up yet, but one of my students told me to read a book, so now I have to read it.
Well, what is it?
It's called True Blue. It's a horse book. It's like a young adult horse book.
Is it about a horse named Blue?
I don't know.
It better be.
I don't know. I think True Blue, if I had to guess, I would say it refers to, like, blue ribbons.
How old is your student?
She's 12.
All right. It's kind of adorbs.
So, yeah. She was like, have you read True Blue? And I was like, no, why? What is that? You know, and she was like, you should definitely read it. The instructor in that book reminds me of you. So we'll see if
that's a good thing or not. We got to revisit this.
She's going to be like,
yeah. You're a terrible student.
So, but it was fun. I liked it.
And then my instructor stumbled into the barn, drunk, and high on methane cocaine. Methane cocaine.
Not a thing. Hey, we invented it.
I do like, every so often, I've had more little kids lately, but a lot of times when I have like middle schoolers, they'll tell me what they're reading, mm-hmm. and they're always like, you have to read it, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I read Percy Jackson. And
oh, yeah.
Because it was, like, important to them that I know mm-hmm. what they were talking about, and I really love, like, reading what, like, the kids are reading. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of interesting.
If any of them tell you to read Ready Player One, then you should probably let the horse step on their heads.
Whoa, that's a murder. I just don't
foresee, like, any of my 12-year-old
negligent students. Homicide.
Manslaughter.
You can probably plead that shit down, Zane.
You might only get like 15.
I've been watching a lot of The Wire.
All right. Oh, boy.
Four.
This is a record.
All right.
Josh O'Mandy once.
Yeah. That's been a full podcast so far.
I am the snarky one.
Okay. All right.
We're going to take a little break. And we've got an awesome topic from an awesome listener coming right back. And stay tuned because you're going to love it.
To Cracking the Spine, episode 77.
We're out of practice.
I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
Sean here. Zane, what are we going to talk about? Because I hope we got something.
We do. We got something.
What is it? You know, Josh, you did a lot of research on it.
Yup. Like always.
We got a ridiculously amazing email this week from a fan. Yes. And we'll talk about how amazing this email was later, but it's from Jacob Holland, and he included a bunch of topic suggestions in it, and they were actually all, like, really, really good.
They were all super awesome and stuff we have not hit on before.
We're going to call it the Jacob Holland Library of Suggestions.
Seriously, so step it up the rest, you motherfuckers.
Seriously.
Get on Holland's level.
Yeah. I think the very first one that sea level. He... suggested in the email was...
Suggestions?
I hope no one would notice.
No one did. No one noticed. It's fine.
I hope the listeners don't notice.
No. I'll edit Josh it out. I gotta actually do this now.
Shit.
I'm making so much work.
He said, you guys should talk about your experiences with bookstores and libraries.
Well, how much time you got?
Well, like 20 or so minutes.
All right, fair enough. I mean, you know, I think it's become fairly obvious over the course of 77 episodes that I have some very deep experience with both bookstores and libraries.
Have you talked about that before?
It's come up.
Really?
Yeah, go back and listen.
Never have, never will.
All I remember is The Wire.
Yeah. And New York, New York.
That's recent.
New
go back.
New York City.
I have been a fan of bookstores... Gosh, for a long time. I remember being a little kid and going to the Plymouth Meeting Mall in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania.
Plymouth Meeting!
Sure, why not? Site, interestingly, of the first IKEA in the United States.
Dope facts.
Just saying. And they had a B. Dalton.
Okay.
And a Walden bookstore.
Walden books.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And they had a magazine rack right near the front of the store.
With the Playboys
in it. And you would, the thing was you would like take the Playboys out of the top of the rack.
Yeah.
And then get like a Sports Illustrated and like tuck them inside. And be like, oh, standing here getting a boner to Sports Illustrated. The old
Back to the Future 2 trick.
Exactly, yeah. And they also, I remember reading Truly Tasteless Jokes.
Yeah.
In the same aforementioned B. Dalton bookstore.
And then, can you recite one for us now?
A Truly Tasteless Joke?
From the, do you remember one?
Yeah, of course.
Let's go, I'm ready.
Go on.
It's going to be truly tasteless. Warning, truly tasteless joke.
It better be truly, truly tasteless.
Truly, truly out-tasteless.
Why do all the boats in the Polish Navy have glass bottoms?
Oh, I know this one. Why?
So you can see the Polish Air Force.
Yeah, take that, Poland.
That's what you get for having all your teachers executed. Anyway, so that sort of inspired a love of literature, maybe?
Well, if your first... If your first encounter with a bookstore was like, they got titties here! Like, that's pretty sweet.
Right? It's just like, yeah, this is a window into a world I can actually get on board with.
Little Sean's, like, opening the Playboy and a light shines on his face. He's like, knowledge is power.
It's like opening the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. Yeah. Whoa. It doesn't matter what's in it. It's just the MacGuffin.
That's it. That's what it was.
But then, you know, I've worked in independent bookstores for on and off for, like, I don't know, 12 years of my life. And now I'm working for a publishing company.
Which is, like, a big bookstore.
I mean, I'm still a bookseller. I still sell books. So for me, you know, bookstores and libraries are community. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an idea that literature is the connection to the past.
Right.
Because as soon as anything gets written down, it becomes history. Like,
it becomes a part of the stream of history.
Right. Even if you're writing future science fiction, it's still history.
Even if it's complete nonsense, crazy talk, it counts.
So there's like a very, I was raised in a faith. I was Irish Catholic. Sean Curran, if you couldn't tell. And I don't really, you know.
Hey, shut up, clock.
I'm sorry.
Something 30. Anyway, I don't really like ascribe to any faith or religion anymore. So I put...
You need to cool it.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. The klaxon machine's warmed up.
Premature klaxoning.
I feel like there is something very spiritual and human connectedness to the idea of reading.
Yeah.
It's a very intimate thing, but it's also a very social thing. Like, right. I, when I read an author's telling me a story, but then I have the opportunity to share my experience of that story with someone else to see if it relates to their life experience.
Right.
I'll say that for now, and I've talked for a while. It's a wall of Sean. Somebody else.
No, this is interesting to me. I always like bookstores. Like, I like the smell of them and the feel of them, and the people in them are generally pretty nice people. Everything's a little calmer.
That's true. Yeah.
I do not. I know this is a big stance I'm taking here.
Go ahead.
I don't like Barnes and Noble and shit like that.
Right.
Because, like...
Shocker.
I know.
It's the mall. Shocker. I mean, it's
the mall, right.
And like, there's nothing wrong with the mall. There's nothing wrong with Barnes & Noble, but it's not...
It's not the same feeling that you get when you're, like, browsing books in an independent bookstore.
When I think of a bookstore, this might sound crazy because I relate my life to movies. I think of, like, Ray's Occult in Ghostbusters,
where it's
a cramped, like, bookstore, and everything's all shoved differently in the thing.
And the pages are yellowing. Some of the pages are yellowing. Yeah.
And it's dirty, and it's not, like, the cleanest place. Like, that's what I think of. And, like, not a lot of those places exist anymore, you know? Like,
it's about the discovery, not the...
Right. It's all...
Not
it's
the
all,
shopping experience.
It's a quest. Yeah. Like, I found this. Isn't that cool?
Right.
Not like, do you have, like, the new, like, whatever, Stephanie whatever, who wrote those books, you know? Do you have that? That's what people say in Barnes & Noble.
That's what people say in every...
Yeah, well, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
I'm thinking of a book that has, like, a male character in it.
Also female.
Yeah. Do you have something like that?
Let's see what we have in the back.
And I think libraries, it's a different, to me, it's a different kind of thing because a library represents something larger, I think, than a bookstore.
Yeah, it's more of an, libraries to me are more of like the idea that everyone Should have access to books.
Exactly. And not just books, right. But knowledge, to information.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because what's happened in, you know, recent years is that libraries are a place for, you know, internet access for people without computers, mm-hmm. for English as a second language classes for, right. you know, immigrants who don't have to pay, who can't afford,
right.
you know, college. Community in a different way than a bookstore. Like, there's right. something... There's something really pure about a library because it's free and it has a mission that is basically like, we're here so that...
It's a service.
You can learn.
Yeah, it's like a public service, which, like, unfortunately, public services aren't always treated the best in this country as of recently.
Well, no, so, if it's not private enterprise, if it's not worthless. If there's no profit yeah. margin it's on worthless. It, why do we yeah. use the real estate?
Which is
unless it's religion, right. which don't get me started. Oh, sad klaxon. Zane, you have been very silent so far, and I feel like I don't want to. I'm going to give you the chance to speak to it.
I was thinking mostly.
What? No time for that. Quick talk.
I also, you know, I grew up in a really rural area. And we didn't have
bookstore. No, what the hell's a bookstore?
We never had like a lot of chain bookstores. Like all right. of the for me growing up, all of my experiences with bookstores were these very eccentric.
Name it. Local. Name the place. Farley's.
Farley's absolutely in New Hope,
Pennsylvania, which is still there.
Which is still there, and it's an experience for sure.
If you ever find yourself, it's an amazing place to go into.
If you ever find yourself in New Hope, Pennsylvania, make it your business to go in there. And it's disorganized, although it is more organized than I remember it being when I was little. I remember it being just stacks of books everywhere.
It is like that place you were describing.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, I've been there.
It used to have an occult section. They don't have it anymore.
It's New Hope, man.
But it was New Hope. Well, and I was also going to say, like, Farley's is definitely an experience, and I still love browsing there. But there's also, in New Hope, there were always, like, white witch stores and stuff, like Wiccan stores.
Yeah, it was
and
Wiccan.
And they always had... like big book sections.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was so much fun to peruse in there. And it also, I was thinking what you were saying about the library, like I've lived in cities and I've been to like the downtown branch. I used to spend a lot of time in the downtown branch of the Boston Public Library. I used to go there in between classes and I would just, it's like three stories and it's all books. And up at the top level is like really quiet. And I used to spend a lot of time there, those kinds of big libraries were always, they're difficult to spend a lot of time in unless you're like, you have like a mission.
Yeah, unless you're there for like a reason. Yeah.
But again, because I grew up in a more rural area.
Library? What the hell's a library? That's Zane.
Because I grew up in a more rural area, the libraries that we went to were very small, and they were very intimate, and especially as a child, I would go there for story time, and we'd go there. It was like a social thing, like you were talking about, but they were quiet places, and it was that sort of coziness that the local bookstores would afford as well. And those libraries are out there, and they're still my favorite libraries. Like there is something to be said for a big library where you have access to every title and everything, but like. There's a little local library around here, and it's like one room.
That's crazy.
And I love it in there. I could be in there all day long. And that's what I like. Like, I don't go to a bookstore to like see other people. Like I like bookstores where you go and someone's like, do you need help? No. Okay. And then they never talk to you again.
Yeah. And they're just like, as weird about people. As
yeah.
You
like
are,
that's
yeah.
what I like. Like, I don't go to a bookstore to meet other people.
Yeah. I don't want to have like, I don't want to like go up to somebody with like coffee and be like, what are you reading?
Yeah, I want it to be like a quiet place. Like I don't need a cafe there or anything. Like
we're not book club people.
No, like
but I love that they exist.
I want to find a book and like hide in a corner and sit down and page through it.
And I think there's a, you know, there's a cool thing that exists with independent bookstores that Zane, when you were saying that, like, you would go into a bookstore and someone would come up to you and be like, can I help you find something? You go, no, they may leave you alone. That's different than, it just made me think of, like, the record store experience.
Yeah.
Which is the complete opposite. I mean, maybe I'm being biased, but I feel like the record store experience is more akin to High Fidelity.
Yeah, where you go and you talk about music.
You have to prove something.
And everybody who works there, exactly. Everybody who works there doesn't want to help you find anything. Yeah. Doesn't want to match
you
up
with keeping it secret. Well, God forbid you ask for the wrong music.
Yeah. Right. Do you have a copy of Sonic Youth's Daydream Nation? And it's like, oh, what year is this? 1994? And it's like, well, actually, that's 91. But,
whoa,
but like, there's
yeah, but it's definitely the employees who are the snobs.
There's a snootiness attached, I think, to music.
Josh is
breakdancing.
Yeah, you just got burned.
Did I?
He wasn't listening.
Walked right over those hot coals. I was talking.
We're back.
No, I'm not. I don't mean to be snooty. I just think that there's a difference in written media as opposed to other kinds of media.
Definitely.
Because even like there's not that they're around anymore, but like if you went to go to rent movies from movie places. Not necessarily Blockbuster.
Video Connection in Quakertown?
But yeah, like the smaller like mom and pops. I'm thinking of Clerks. The video rental place in the movie Clerks.
Yeah.
There's that snootiness that's attached to, like, oh, you're not coming here to rent whatever the person who's working on that particular shift thinks is the movie
you're going to hear about it, right?
Exactly. And maybe I'm wrong, let me know if I am wrong. I don't think that exists in a bookstore.
Not really.
I always feel like I know when I buy a bunch of books in a bookstore, I know that the clerk is looking at those titles. And it is entirely possible that later they'll be like, yo, this bitch just bought like three of the worst horror books that I've ever seen in my life. But I don't get the judgment. Like, it's not presented to me.
Yeah, it's a little under the surface.
And I think kind of what you're getting at is like, there's always this feeling around reading where like, it doesn't matter what you're reading. Are you reading? Good job.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter. You could be checking out like the most ridiculous book ever of all time. The unofficial Aerosmith biography.
That lives at my house now.
But you're coming to the library, you're coming to the bookstore, and you are actively seeking out information.
Yeah. And
you know, like, there's something, there's, like, a kinship there. Like, there's a no-judgment zone.
There's something, it's just, like, it's like going to a food store and buying food and people judging your food. It's the same type of thing. Like, they're not going to judge it because it's such a human thing. Like, people have been doing it for thousands of years.
And to your point, Zane, having worked in a couple of bookstores over many years, I don't know that there is when somebody leaves, like, yo, she just bought that horror novel. It was more like, yo, that horror novel has been sitting on the shelf for all those months. Like, somebody finally bought it and they got it. Like,
if some guy, like, came in and bought, like, three books about how giant lizards are ruling the planet, you wouldn't, like, after
I would think that
like,
was awesome.
That was ridiculous.
No, the Anunnaki are real.
Like, we weren't really akin, like, or attuned into the buying habits. It was really more about like the personality types.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone just like came in quietly,
like,
was a respectful customer.
Exactly, yeah. But kook stories are kook stories, whether you're buying The Girl on the Train or Anunnaki's Stole My Underoos.
They're real.
By Chuck Tingle.
They're real.
Chuck Tingle, you're welcome.
Did I ever tell you my library
Come on the show.
Story?
No, I mean,
when
me
I
and
went
you, but
to
go
a
ahead.
Library. I used to live near right next to a library.
I think I've heard this story.
I think I've heard this story too. Maybe you told it on the show.
Tell it again.
Was it about the I scared the lady? Was that
Let's
it?
Let's hear it.
Yes.
They already heard it.
No, you tell it.
You have to tell it.
I used to rent Return of the Jedi a lot from the library. But my mom would made me go get my library card. I remember it being like a big deal, and I remember being like, okay. But to my mom, it was like really important, right?
Yeah.
Like, because like that was like what she lugged, so she was trying to make me a good person, and she failed. But so we went and got my library card.
Disagree. You're a good guy.
Aww.
Eye rolls all over the place.
So I got my library card, and it was like I think like maybe the second time I was there, and I had like one of those spiders, the pump-up spiders that jump when
you
squeeze the thing.
You squeeze the thing and the spider jumps, yeah.
And I totally got this lady. I put it on the counter, I dug down, and I pumped this spider up, and this lady went like, and people like, stopped. It was already quiet in there because it's a library, but people were like, books dropped.
How old are you? Like
I was like 6, 17? Maybe 5. Okay, so 17, maybe. No.
It's like last week.
And that's the last time I was in the library.
Is it true?
No, no.
Okay.
Jeez.
Schools have libraries.
Did you get caught?
Yeah, no, they saw it was me, and then they were like, oh, whatever. Oh, it's the 80s. So they were like, okay. Everything's okay. Now they'd be like,
now I was gonna say now.
Now they'd be like, kid's a menace. He needs ADHD.
Homeland medicine. Security yeah. comes in and
seriously
tases the librarian
and the spider. They handcuff all 8 legs of the spider. Behind
spider
it.
Lives matter. All right. No, too soon. All right. Anyway, I missed this.
I said handcuffs them. Doesn't arbitrarily shoot them. Zane's giving the wrap it up sign.
Yeah, let's go ahead. We're gonna let's take a break. We'll come back with something a little bit more positive. Guaranteed.
Oh yeah.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back.
Oh my god.
To part 3.
What are we doing this part?
Of episode 77 of Cragging the Spine. I'm Zane.
Sean.
I don't know. Josh.
No, you're right. You got it.
Oh, I was right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what we do in this part, Josh. And tonight in this part, we're actually going to cut down to the red meat. Because we got some shit to talk about.
What?
Because we
what?
Asked people to email us.
Yeah.
To Twitter us.
Yeah.
To Facebook us.
Email. Reach out.
Facebook. Twitter.
To reach out. And I'm being completely serious. I know I'm not usually that guy, but we got a hell of an email this week.
Yeah, sure it's did. Really good.
From
Jacob Zane. Holland.
Jacob Holland, who suggested our show topic this week, and we're not gonna read the whole email, and not just because it was really long and not overly long. It, like he apologized in it several times. Like in the email, he apologized for being wordy, which was fine because.
It was a great email.
He had a lot to say.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how do I encapsulate the stuff that hit? Because it was a really powerful message to get.
Yeah. I don't know.
It talked a lot about, how, like, listening to the show makes him feel. And how it's a comfort to him. And it brings him...
It takes him out of a bad place and brings him to a good place is essentially what it came down to, and it was really
it hit us hard.
It hit us well. Like you know, it's obvious. I hope from listening that we have a lot of fun doing this.
Yeah,
and I don't want to say that we treat it frivolously because we don't. I mean, we're spending money. You know, to host and taking time out of our days and our families to sit here and make fun of each other and do klaxon noises and shit.
Yeah.
And interrupt Zane.
What?
Nothing. And sometimes we get emails. It's not the first one we've gotten, but it was certainly the most impactful one we've gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
That make us realize that for some of you guys, like, this is – listening to us is something – I don't know. Like, it's weird for me to think that what I thought of as just, I don't want to say it was a throwaway, because I would never spend 77 episodes on what I think is a throwaway. I actually enjoy the conversation.
I think for us, it's sort of just, it's like something that we do on the side of our lives. It's not, you know.
Well, we've been doing this forever, the three of us, like.
Just this conversation.
But we decided to get together and do this podcast essentially as like a hobby.
Yeah.
And we've continually been surprised whenever people enjoy it. And every so often we do get a message from someone that says like, you brighten my day or, you know, like it really makes me happy to listen to you guys. And it's every time we hear it, it's like, what? Are you serious? It's just so incredible.
What he said was what it went beyond enjoyment. Like he, there's something to what stupidity Josh says.
Finally, some recognition.
Although he did call you tardy. He did say that you were.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I wasn't prompt or something.
He wasn't punctual.
Punctual.
He said he was never punctual.
I'm always
punctual. And Josh took that to heart, too.
Yeah, and I would like to say for the record, however it may appear, Josh is always about 2 hours early for the podcast. He comes over early.
There's delicious food here.
Even when we did it in the bookstore, Josh was the first, other than me.
Yeah. Josh is always punctual. He is always, at the very least, there when he says he will be, or he's early.
It didn't bother me.
For the record.
But for real, though. No.
And, like, the depth of this dude's email, he singled out things that he enjoyed about all three of us, and he gave shout-outs to Dan.
Yeah!
There he is. And, like, told me that he thinks I'm doing a good job with my kids. I don't know. Yeah. It was
however.
I'm not doing a good job with my kids?
I didn't want to bring this up.
The subject of the email was...
Yes, the subject line of the email was...
Zane is clearly the best.
And I was very definitively the third best.
I'm okay with being right in the middle.
So thank you, Jacob.
Beautiful gold for Zane.
Hooray!
Shiny silver for Josh, and shameful bronze for Sean.
Bronze is valuable.
Actually, I read recently during the whole Olympic thing that happened.
Every 4 years.
That on a trajectory, people who win the bronze medal
are the happiest.
The gold is the happiest.
Well, no, but
they're happier than the silver medal winners because
they didn't get
they
second.
They got there, but they didn't almost win.
No, but like
second
I,
best
I, you're right,
is first
I read that
loser.
Their like level of satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Higher.
But I'm still butthurt.
Always.
Well, you'll get over it. Or not.
Or I'll just internalize it.
No email in the world can change that.
Well, give it a try, you guys. CrackingTheSpineShow@gmail.com.
And also, again, if it hasn't been made like explicitly clear, thank you again to Jacob Holland.
Dude,
we've been talking about your email for
days
now, and it meant a lot. And also, obviously, we've singled out Jacob because it was a very moving email, but we do... talk about and share all the emails
and
all
tweets.
The correspondence that we get. And we all talk about it and we all pass it around and we read them and we hear you.
We pass it around
and
like mono.
It really does mean a lot to us. Just that anyone is
they're
reaching
out. They're even listening. You're just listening.
That anyone
means
would reach
so
out
much.
At all means a lot, but everyone always writes in with the nicest things to say and it means so, so much to us.
Yeah, seriously, you guys are like the most positive people on the internet.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Thank you.
For real. Like,
absolutely.
It makes all of it worthwhile. Jacob, I can't even get my brain around how honest you were and how like you poured your heart out. So if you're still listening, I hope you are. Thanks, man. And drop us a line anytime.
Anytime.
Facebook.
Twitter. Email. crackingthespine@gmailpod.gov.
Nope. New. Nope.
I'm getting one of these
crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
At Cracking Spine Twitter.
Facebook. Just type in Cracking the Spine.
Reddit.
Yeah.
Cracking the Spine Pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where it gets confusing.
Yeah, that one's hard.
I am terrible at keeping up on that one, but I read it, you guys.
I'm there. There was a post about my Instagram account today.
What did they say about it? How you
that
post
it,
all
that
these sports
That it contained
picks?
A concerning amount of ponies. That was the
concerning
verbiage.
Amount.
A concerning amount.
I'm glad somebody else brought it up to your attention.
Yeah, right?
You guys.
Let's call it an intervention.
Y'all suck it.
I'm glad that we
suck
are
what?
Here today.
It.
All right.
Probably a pony.
All right, cool. I hope you guys get to hear a lot of this because Josh is going to edit it and usually
it's
cuts
gonna,
out everything.
He's going to edit it down to like 30 seconds.
What? I don't cut anything out. All right. Well,
I'm the best editor.
Maybe we'll talk more next week. Maybe
silver
it'll be a couple
medal.
Of weeks. We don't know.
I'm Ooh. Like the silver medal of editing. Never satisfied.
Exactly. But we will be back. Don't know when. Hopefully you'll be here to listen to...
Soon.
Cracking the Spine.
We love you.
Check them out. Books. Check them out. At your library.